Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Rodney Rogers, AC Earl, Joey Devine, Rex Walters, Gear to Mink, Sean Keane, Adonis Jordan, Mike Peplowski, special guest John Wilms, Patreons Andrew Liu, thank you Andrew, Charles Crabtree, thank you Chucky Krabs, John Molesky, thank you John, musical guest Boy Genius, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, America's feature at Cobb's Comedy Club this week, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Doing well. Doing great.
That's good. Sean, yeah. We have a packed show. We're going to talk to John Wilms, our friend, from Real GM, to just go over some things we've seen so far when the NBA season starts. Yeah, that's right, baby. We're actually talking basketball today in a strange turn of events. Then, Sean, we have our friend Alex, who was the DJ at Shacktoberfest, and we're going to talk to him really briefly about what it's like DJing at Shaq's Halloween festival. So let's just get straight into it. Here is us talking to our friend John. All right, we're here with John Wilms from Real GM Radio, from the Turtle Pond podcast.
Well, I want to be clear. I've never been on Real GM Radio.
No, wait, why did I say Real GM Radio?
You're thinking of Danny LaRue, our friend.
It's true. I am thinking of our friend Danny LaRue.
Yeah, hit me up, Danny. I'd come on.
Yeah, from Real GM, from The Ringer, from our Patreon, where John and I watch the morning show once. We're going to have the finales this weekend. We're going to catch up next week, I promise. We've got John Wilms from Jad's Dad Milo, the author. John, I wanted to ask you, you're a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
We had you on. I want to ask you about things we've learned 2 weeks into the season, but I wanted to name this first. You're on a podcast that's not Real GM Radio. It's called Turtle Pond Hangout. You're a Bulls fan. The Bulls keep having players-only meetings. So we're going to call this segment Potters Only.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So first off, I guess I'll ask you about the Bulls. How bad is it?
Well, I'm not the best person to ask because I haven't been watching them a ton. But I feel like I've seen enough. I could describe, I could find more language to describe what's going on and all that. But like, we kind of all know what the deal is at this point. They're just not a great fit. You know, the hope coming into this season, which seems to have been a bad hope, is that last season they were kind of waiting around for Lonzo to come back. And so they weren't adjusting in the ways they needed to. And so maybe this season they would have more of a sense of how they needed to play because they know he's not going to come back, but they still just don't really play together very well. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it is. And they seem to be kind of giving up on the task of playing well together. So it's just not fun to watch. There's no like, there's no like thing they do. There's no identity to it. And
Levine one thing they do, and that's
players only meetings.
Yeah, they have players only meetings.
After the very first game of the season, I think it's the first players only, the earliest players only meeting I can remember.
It's gotta be. There's no way. I've never heard of a game one players only meeting.
I mean, if you were trying to make it seem like a super dramatic situation, you would probably lead with that detail, but it's not even that. It's just not even that exciting or dramatic. It's just like, well, this team kind of stinks. Like, what am I going to do? Watch this every night?
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not going to. I'll always follow them and keep an eye on them. But you guys know what I'm wearing a Bucks hat right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's wild. There's a feature. I want to talk about the Bulls just a little bit.
Sure.
Just because they seem like they're not. Not only are they a bad fit, it's like they're playing a bit of a retro game.
Mm-hmm.
So they've given up the most threes in the league this year, and the second, you know, sorry, they've given up the second most threes in the whole league, mm-hmm. and they've made I think the fifth fewest. And mm-hmm. so there's just like elements to this team where basically they're good at getting steals. And then that's kind of it. They don't really turn the ball over, and they shoot a lot of twos. They're shooting the most two-pointers in the league. And it just feels like they're playing like early 2000s basketball. And if you think about it, it's like, wow, I mean, DeMar DeRozan is like the perfect player for mm-hmm. 2002, just maybe not right now this season.
Yeah, and they tried to emphasize shooting more threes. It's just it just isn't happening, and it just mm-hmm. probably isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't quite understand how it can be so profoundly the way that you just described it, and that like Billy Donovan can literally just not get them to shoot three pointers.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. Like NBA players in general kind of want to shoot three pointers.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever seen them warming up, for example, you would just think that would be more just easy to make happen, but it's
mistake of signing an entire team of the one guy in warmups who just does funny layups while lazily standing under the basket.
Yeah, there is a great ESPN piece today about Alex Caruso, which is I'm always interested in Alex Caruso, and he really is a good defender. But it was very funny that DeMar DeRozan called him our Ray Lewis. Because that's not a comparison I would have ever mentally made about Alex Caruso.
No, I don't think that. I don't think of him as a murderer.
But yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I don't suspect him of cold-blooded murder.
Well, yeah, if Alex Caruso were going to murder someone, it would be someone who discovered he was an undercover cop, because that's how he looks. He looks like an undercover cop. All right. John, he mentioned you're wearing a Bucks hat. I want to talk about Bucks discourse real quick, because
what is the discourse?
Have you guys looked at, well, when people talk about the Bucks, it sounds like they're bad.
Oh,
they're all
it's
really national, not
they're actually
working.
5-2.
Oh, yeah. You go on, like, you listen to the Low Post and they're like, I don't know. The Bucks, they're not running Dame and Giannis screens. The defense looks bad. And then you check the standings for the league, and they are 5-2 for second in the East.
Yeah, they're 5-2.
They have the same record as the Celtics, who are discussed in like the opposite way. They're like, wow, everything is perfect.
Reverential tones for a team that was really getting blown out by the 76ers until the last 90 seconds of the game, when the Sixers did fall apart and, you know, the Celtics had a game-winning shot, but they were up like 14 with 90 seconds to go, which I guess is a testament to the Celtics, but also maybe they're not the greatest five-man lineup in history. It's weird because this has now happened like 3 years in a row with the Celtics, and was happening the year that Gordon Hayward got hurt. Just there's so much Boston media that,
yeah.
Do you remember like 11 months ago, people were talking about how they had the greatest offense in NBA history?
Yeah.
And then it turned out that only two people, two people could dribble on the whole team. Doesn't that sound like they still kind of don't have enough people who can dribble on the team?
Yes. No, Drew Holiday is not. Listen, I love Drew Holiday, and I think he's makes them better, and they are better. Yeah. But like, he's not a significantly better point guard than Marcus Smart. Anybody as a Bucksologist like myself, who's been watching the team over the years, will tell you that the Drew point guard stuff is an adventure. Like, yes. You don't really know what you're getting possession to possession, game to game. So he's not going to be the steady hand that they've needed in closer games. And if you look at it in the standings, right? So usually if you look at point differential, if it's positive, it's green. And if it's negative, it's red. And then you always, your eyes are caught by like a sea of green with a little bit of red in it, or vice versa. And so right now the Bucks are the little red blip in a sea of green in the top nine teams of the Eastern Conference. All have positive point differentials. And then the Bucks are number two with a negative 2 point differential. The Celtics are plus 12 and they have the same record. this speaks to the fact that they're very comfortable blowing out inferior teams and sometimes even good teams. But they just don't, they're not comfortable in close games. And that's still the case. Versus the Bucks, who just got a lot more comfortable in close games with Dame Lillard, and they can kind of like get all over themselves and have an insane game and then just play incredible basketball for 5 minutes and still win. And that's kind of like the Giannis experience anyway. It's sort of like a roller coaster. It's I've said roller coaster twice and I apologize.
It's okay. But you've got the Big Dipper on the brain. Or the Giant Dipper, excuse me.
Yes, but the Giannis experience is insane. Like, he is almost playing football a lot of the time. He is almost traveling, or in fact traveling a lot of the time, and making really bad decisions in terms of shooting too many threes or deep twos, and just other kinds of bad decisions as well. Trying to close out on a 3-point shooter that he can't catch, and then falling out of the game for no reason. This is all typical Giannis stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's still incredible, and he still comes out ahead, even though it did not look good for a lot of it. So the Bucks are like becoming that as a team overall, especially since they hired a coach who he wanted, as opposed to one who, you know, I know he liked him, but Bud has his own way of doing things, and he had that organized Bud baseline. That's gone. And now the defense is gone now too. I think the defense will get a lot better. But I also think that like Adrian Griffin's insane blitzing defense that didn't work for four games. I think that was probably like kind of Giannis's idea, if I'm being honest.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. To just like, oh, I've been playing, like he's been playing 2K or something, and that's what he does without realizing the reality of a non-computer intelligence Brook Lopez. You know. Yes.
Hey, Brook Lopez has computer intelligence. He is the computer that wore tennis shoes. He's seen the movie thousands of times.
Don't let him hear you say that.
Yeah.
It's like Dean Jones on a basketball court. I've been making a lot of references to movies and shows that are like 50 to 70 years old recently, Wilms. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I'm the one who brought that one up.
But yeah, you're right. Like the Coach Bud thing is not really a reliable playoff coach exactly, but an absolute like floor raising regular season coach.
But they're 5-2 and they're going to win 50 something games probably.
Yeah.
Barring some terrible injuries, but they've got Chris Middleton on a limit. He doesn't play back to backs and he only plays like 20 minutes a game and they're still winning with that in place.
Also,
he had like one really good sequence so far this season, but when Chris Middleton looked like Chris Middleton, it was like, oh, it was like, oh, this is going to, they're going to win the East. Like, if he can play like this in the playoff.
It also just feels like they have to adjust to the difference in Dame Lillard's attitude towards defense to Jrue Holiday. Like, I think they're expecting, obviously they knew Dame wouldn't be as good or, you know, harassing guys on the ball, but I think they probably expected that he would still
try a little bit,
run back. Like when he took a three from the top of the key, that he would still chase, you know, like get back and prevent Jimmy Butler from just dunking uncontested. And that has not really been the case so far. I don't really think that's going to change, but I think the Bucks will adjust to Dame and like, all right, this just isn't your job anymore.
Yeah. I think that even outside of Jrue Holiday, who's the gold standard for like point guard defense, which I just have to mention that it's kind of hilarious that Celtics fans are now saying that when they thought that Marcus Smart was and like got the most propaganda related defensive player of the year award for him. And as soon as he's off the team and they have Jrue Holiday instead, they're like, well, yeah, he's better.
Yeah. He was slipping the whole time. He can't be trusted.
But so even outside of Jrue, before him, they had Eric Bledsoe, who's a really good defender. Mm-hmm. And Drew's backup last year was Javon Carter, who was a good defender. Like they just are really not used to bad point guard defense. Like they don't, they really, and Brogdon too. Brogdon, pretty good defender. So yeah, they really, you're right, have not dealt with this. So there is an adjustment. I mean, Brook Lopez just camping out under the rim more than he already has is probably pretty good, especially since he's getting older.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do with Giannis on defense? He's one of the best defenders in the league, but like, what do you do with him in this scenario? They're going to have to figure that out.
I mean,
I do think the rest. Oh, go ahead.
It's a real problem to me from like a normally when a guy changes teams after demanding out, normally they're like, they try a little bit before reverting back to their old habits. And this has been troubling to me that Dame is just like, nope, I'm going to play Portland Trailblazer basketball, which is the second I feel a guy near me, I stop moving.
Well, I think the whole team is kind of like that right
now.
They're sort of a little, maybe a little cocky, but maybe just kind of taking it slow because, you know, they're veterans. They know how long the season is.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole team kind of looks like they're only trying some of the time. Again, they're winning.
Yeah. And they
not
also,
if you only listen to basketball podcasts and don't watch any games.
Yeah.
The other thing is they don't particularly have a great home court advantage in the playoffs. And they also have kind of no trouble winning big road games either. So it's like, I don't know if they care that much about the seeding.
Have I told you guys about how strange it is going to a Bucks game in Milwaukee?
No.
Just because they don't have real basketball fans. They are, I mean, I don't want to say that you're not a real basketball fan if you only started watching recently, but they all started watching recently. Like, they don't care about the NBA in Wisconsin. They just don't. They care about the Packers.
Yeah.
But now that they have,
well, they own the team, so they have to.
Yeah, of course. They do. But so they are just starting to watch now. So it's just strange being in a stadium full of people who don't really know how to behave during this, and they're like trying to do like college sports shit. Like they have a cheer, like they have a, almost like a student cheering section type of situation in there. And when Giannis is shooting free throws, it gets dead quiet in there. Like he's a child or something. And like all the parents are hoping he does well. And I went up there with a couple friends last year, and we were just like fucking shocked at just the weird vibe of it. They don't know how to react or behave. But anyway, it gets dead quiet, and you could literally hear a woman from across the bowl of the stadium saying, "You got this, Giannis." And I was like, and my friends and I were like, "This is fucking crazy.
That's so weird."
Some woman who was sitting near us like heard us say that, and then Giannis made his free throw when everybody was all quiet. And she like looked over to us and she was like, "You see, it works."
Yeah. Do you remember when Andrew Bogut had to just buy out a whole section
to make people cheer? Yeah.
That was probably the Bradley Center days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because that would have been like 2009 or something. Yeah.
When I covered a game at the Bradley Center, that is the most insane route I have taken from watching the game to the media room. It was like a mile of tunnels. It was crazy. I never talked to him. I was too starstruck by J.A. Adande. But I was walking alongside J.A. Adande, and he was like, he looked very confused as well by how far we were walking to the media room. And then I felt like I was in a hotel when we got to the media room. Strange.
Well, John, before we started talking, you said you're ramping up your basketball watching. What other East teams have you watched?
I'm watching a lot. I'm only watching certain teams.
Yeah.
I've seen the Nets a lot. I've seen the Mavericks a lot. I've watched the Nuggets a lot and the Thunder. So I have takes on those teams.
Okay, first off, I want to recommend right now.
Oh, Pacers and Hornets too.
That was my team. Everybody's got to watch the Pacers.
They're playing the Bucks tonight.
The Pacers are my favorite team in the league right now.
They are the most traditionally Golden State Warriors-esque team in the league.
Yeah.
Giving up a million points. I think they've scored 150 points twice already, which is so crazy.
They are extremely Halliburton dependent.
Yeah.
But when he's playing, pretty awesome.
Yeah. I actually yesterday was lamenting the fact that like real basketball blogs don't exist anymore. Like Real GM, great, obviously. The Substacks we all listen, great, but because if there was like a generation of free Darko Zoomers, the Pacers, this is like a Zoomer free Darko team. Like they don't play like free Darko liked, but how a Zoomer in that, you know what I mean, in that vein would like. It's great. I love them. And also, don't look, they are Halliburton dependent, but also don't sleep on Andrew Nembhard, who is secretly rules.
He's good.
Well, and they have it's always interesting to see, like, Rick Carlisle went there and just kind of did like a Luka Cuban Haralabub detox for a little while because he's the best coach in the league at tanking. Losing close games when you're trying to tank, in the same way that he's very good at managing to lose games by a small amount. He's also good at doing it in reverse, basically. Like the Pacers kind of have a bad defense, but they're good at running people off the 3-point line, and so that's how they end up winning by 30 a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like he's going to maximize this flawed but very fun team, basically, I think.
So, Wilms, you said you've watched a lot of Mavericks, speaking of Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, I feel like they've been discussed a good amount.
I have yet to watch the Mavericks, actually.
I mean, it's fun to see Luka with actual athleticism around him and not, like, you know, Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fun to see him with a mustache. Not enough people are talking about that dirt stash he's got. It's perfect.
It's tight. It's tight. I think Jennifer Aniston would like it.
He's being just as annoying as ever in terms of whining to refs and stuff. It's kind of crazy how much he does it. It's actually, I feel like we don't talk about it enough somehow.
Yeah.
Like, if you were at a party and, like, somebody just started doing something fucked up, but nobody felt like it was okay to talk about it, like, you know, like, and somebody just stands up at the dinner table and starts scratching their nuts, and, like, they just keep doing it.
Yeah, and then you ask them, and they're like, yeah, you know, my boss probably tells me to stop doing this once a week, and I can't do it, you know? I realize it's a problem.
It's crazy.
Sean had a party once, and this guy we know showed up like 3 hours early, and then Sean left his own party to get the guy to leave.
Yeah. That was insane.
Sorry, man. I got chores. Like, it's still like 11 at night, and you're like, yeah, I got to go to the dentist.
That guy's other move that he would do is he'd go running, and he would call people from outside their apartment and ask to use their bathroom. We're like, what? Just like, and then look out the window. He's standing there all sweaty. And yeah, people did not let him do that, though. That I know he was really taking a shot on that.
All right. Any bad teams? Any teams surprisingly bad you've seen, John, that you're like kind of surprised?
The Pistons
by?
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bad because they're young, but I actually think that if they were healthy, they would be more like a 500 team.
Yeah.
But they haven't had Monte Morris. They haven't had Monte Morris or Bojan the whole season. So those guys would be really helpful to them right now.
Yeah, it's like all children now.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that Monty Williams is doing his mad dad thing and not playing Jaden Ivey.
Mm-hmm. It sucks.
Who I think might not be good anyway, but like Killian Hayes is.
He's better than Killian Hayes. Yeah.
Killian Hayes fucking stinks. Like, yeah. I don't want to see him ever. And he's playing like 30 something minutes a game. And I'm just like, dude, get him out of here. Because I really like Durin. And Cade and Azar Thompson's fucking awesome.
He rules.
He's cool.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Stewart is good too. He's just in a weird place. Like,
yeah.
It's just weird that he's on a team with like four centers.
Yeah.
But I got to watch the best game of Killian Hayes' life against the Warriors, and they still like weren't respecting him. He just made a lot of threes, but he still was like really ineffective on defense. Like, sort of doesn't really know where to go, it seems like. I don't know. I can't tell if they're just playing him a lot because I guess it's probably something Jaden Ivey did, but
he's actually sick too, but he was still just not playing very much when he was healthy.
Well, he's also not playing Marcus Sasser enough either. Because he's playing Killian Hayes so much.
Yeah, that guy seems really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what the rap on him is, but people are complaining about that as well. So very strange, but not so strange when you consider that it's Monty Williams and he does this.
Mm-hmm.
Although like with Ayton, it wasn't like Ayton didn't play. Like Ayton played a lot. He just was judged very harshly by his paternal coach.
Well, and you know what he also played a lot of 2K.
Well, I do know 2K. He played a lot of video games. So watch a lot of the Pistons. I like many other people, am refreshed by Jalen Duren because he actually wants to be a center.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which, like, no American big man has wanted to be. And now we have a 7'4" Frenchman who doesn't want to be a center. Whatever.
Right. Uh-huh. He's like, oh, I'm like Kevin Durant. I'm, you know, 7'4". Then that'll definitely work, all those things.
You know who does want to be a center, though? Chet wants to be a center. Chet loves to mix it up. Even though he looks like Skeletor, Chet wants to get elbows thrown and throw them.
You know who I'm done with, though, is Josh Giddey. I'm over it.
Uh-oh.
I don't think he's good, and he doesn't look like Timothy Chalamet. I'm sorry, he doesn't.
Everybody
says that.
You're correct. He has the hair, kind of. He has a super wolf cut.
He's bad at shooting. That's going to be an impediment for a guard in the NBA. That's just...
But what is he good at?
And he's good at passing.
I actually like Josh Giddey. I like
the idea of Josh Giddey.
He barely averages more assists than turnovers.
True. I mean, so I just can't defend it. But I mean,
he's a young player. He could get better. He probably will. But it's also like Shea is so good already.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jalen Williams is good already, too.
Jalen Williams is really good. Really good. And Dort is a perfectly fine role player.
Love Dort.
Fits in great with those guys. So it's like Giddy's getting like all these minutes. My theory is that by the end of the season, Kayson Wallace will supplant Giddy.
I love Kayson Wallace, but yeah, it seems like Giddy just has like slowly given up on taking any kind of outside shots. So,
which gives us a perfect segue to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cam Thomas. He's out for 2 weeks. Are you worried, John?
I am. I mean, I think that they probably will lose games because they don't have Cam Thomas. Yes. Because
he's the only guy who wants to shoot the ball every time he touches it. Bridges wants to make the right basketball play. Cam Thomas. Yes. Wants to shoot the ball every time he touches it.
Which, like, there's the Ben Simmons Cam Thomas theory, which is maybe they balance out. If you got a guy who never wants to shoot and a guy who always wants to shoot, maybe it works out. I don't know. I think it worked out okay.
So the highest usage rate on the Nets does belong to Cameron Thomas.
No.
But it's not that. I mean, it's very high for Cam Thomas. He's like, but he's basically right around the same level as Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Donovan Mitchell, and then he has a higher usage rate than Steph Curry, and slightly more than Kyle Kuzma. So that's what you're. A full percentage point higher than Nikola Jokic's usage, and 2% higher than LeBron James's. Embiid and Doncic and Giannis are, of course, the top three.
I mean, he is a pretty incredible scorer. I don't want that too long.
Yes, no,
it's awesome. And on a team that has, you know, 7 3-and-D wings, it works. Yeah, you're right. Like it's like the Ben Simmons thing where. Who is he stealing possessions from exactly? You know,
no one exactly. Yeah. But the problem really comes in that they haven't had to deal with yet, and it's I guess a good problem to have, but actually probably not. Is when you get healthy Nick Claxton, and then you have Claxton and Simmons, and it's like can't really play those guys together.
No, and you can't play Dennis Smith Jr. with them either. So you've got
but they don't really play him much anymore.
Yeah, they don't play that.
Yeah, but
much,
now that Cam Thomas is hurt, they're probably going to have to.
Yeah, they probably will. But Simmons has been just as strange as ever.
You love Ben Simmons.
No, but it's like back to normal now. Like what's great is he's rebounding so much this year.
He's
like,
going to be one of the best rebounders in the league this season. He'll be up there in assists too, and they get tons and tons of baskets in transition because of him. Tons. But man, he just does not shoot at all. And it used to be that he only would take like 8 to 10 shots, and now it's like he takes 3. Mm-hmm. Like he really doesn't shoot.
He has the lowest usage rate on the Nets. I know this is pretty shocking.
He gets rid
pretty
of the ball
decidedly
so
below.
Fast.
Yeah, he has the ball so much, and yet Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith are both slightly more willing to put it up and make something happen.
To me, the two most underrated basketball skills and under-discussed basketball skills are A, ball handlers' usage of a teammate's screen, the way that they use the screen is rarely talked about, and that's not a Ben Simmons thing. But the other one I want to mention is getting rid of the ball quickly and well.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Simmons is near the top of the league at that, and that's why I really like to watch him. But like he gets rid of the ball, and people are like, oh, he's afraid, he doesn't want to shoot. That's true, he is afraid, and he doesn't want to shoot. But also, it's like good to get rid of the ball quickly in basketball. Yeah. And like move it, advance it into a shooter's hands or advance it toward the basket. Like, so I enjoy watching that. He's not the defender he used to be. He's not bad. But I don't think he'll ever be that. Or they don't really use him the way that Philly used to use him, where it was like, hey, we're going to just like put you on the point guard because you're the only guy who's this tall and can guard point guards.
Right. Because they have 4 of those guys.
They do.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really kind of great about the Nets is they don't really ever turn the ball over, but they also never force turnovers. And they're really good at denying offensive rebounds and kind of bad at getting them. So it's like, you just get the ball until you shoot. Like we're not going to have like a ton of transition or people like we're going to keep it and then we're going to let you keep the ball. That's sort of the, I mean, I think part of it is their defensive strategy because they're pretty good at, you know, denying shots, but it's kind of great that they're like, we're just going to keep the ball ourselves, guys.
Yeah. Let's they're kind of like,
let's not be grabby.
They're kind of like the KD, Harden, Kyrie Nets in that it's my turn, your turn, except it goes for both teams.
Yeah, the actual teams aren't taking
not
turns.
Just on the one side.
Yeah, they're fascinating. I think that they might just end up being bad, but they might be like pretty good also. They're the most unpredictable team to me. Especially, they don't have Cam Johnson either, so.
Yeah,
that'll be pretty interesting. Cam Johnson's a good shooter, so
yeah,
he should definitely help them.
And he's tall.
But I also watch the Hornets a lot.
Why?
their like talent is good. LaMelo is obviously awesome.
Yeah,
I really like Mark Williams. Mark Williams
is secretly really good.
Yeah, like not like a good Hornets player. He's just a good player.
Well, and what happened to him last year is he was hurt at the very beginning of the year, so he was, I think, picked like 15th, maybe just out of the lottery. And so no one paid any attention to him.
Yeah.
But with the team they had last year, Charlotte was sort of surprisingly solid at defense once he was back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's kind of not that exciting, I guess, but he just seems like really solid and just very good at protecting the paint.
Well, I would also say it's a difficult thing with Mark Williams has a hard road because his backup's name is Nick Richards. And while they're not the same name, they're the same name, you know?
Yeah.
It is very close.
These hotel alias names, et cetera. But he is shooting 83% this year. That's pretty good.
I also don't really want to say this because I think he's like might be a bad person. And, you know, I don't want to like have to say like, well, he's actually good at basketball, though. But Brandon Miller.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah,
he's a pretty good rookie, but probably a bad person.
Yeah,
that's like the overall Hornets experience.
Yeah, I would say that's generally I worry about Steve Clifford having to be. It's like a Dangerous mind situation, except it's Steve Clifford being like, hey, listen to me. And then he dies of a heart attack. That's what I'm worried about.
But the Hornets do learn to appreciate William Shakespeare. So yeah, that part of it's pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, this is.
He's B.I.G. is kind of like Othello. He's just a rough guy from a health standpoint and a whole thing standpoint to put in a room of troubled youths.
I am depressed thinking about the Hornets now.
Yeah, well, you know what's more depressing, if you're a Lakers fan, the fact that they've given up they're -73 in first quarters, baby. They're the worst first quarter team in NBA history. Sean, do you know why that's happened?
I mean, their new guys are just kind of have been atrocious so far. Like Cam Reddish has been really bad. Gabe Vincent's been pretty bad. And Torian Prince has been bad. And
to top it off, their third star.
Oh, yeah.
So hot. Austin Reeves not looking so hot.
I'm not so worried about that. Did you know that the Lakers have already sent an angry video package about LeBron not getting calls?
I did.
And I mean, last year that worked very well. They got an apology from the official refs account about how heartbroken they were about missing a call on LeBron. And then the Lakers shot like 500 more free throws than any other team. That has not happened yet, but we'll see. LeBron got mad at a last 2 minute report on social media. That was good. Mm-hmm. He's been really, really good though.
Yeah. It's really been, I would say the start of the season has really been all about the old guys.
Well, shout out to I want to say shout out to our friend Steve Jail, who found this stat on cleaning the glass that with LeBron on the floor, the Lakers had the point differential of a 67 win team. And with him sitting on the bench, they had the point differential of a 1 win team, which is just like,
it just seems like we're kind of back to where we were.
Right. And
like a year ago with them. And it's like people kind of forgot that they were bad for like
most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were bad the full season before that. And they swiftly got it all together last year and became good. But then they did a lot of tinkering in the offseason. And it's like, you think they're just going to go back to being good for a full season again? I know that like, just like there's way too much Boston in the media, there's always like, there's too much Lakers dread or Lakers triumphalism in the media where it's like, mm-hmm. we want to just bring them right back into center stage.
Yeah.
It's like, they're still been kind of floundering for most of the last decade. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like we are unfamiliar with what we're seeing here. Like Christian Wood, why?
That seems like the worst choice. Like
Cam Reddish, I just am tired of hearing that guy's name.
He's
at this
a hooper.
Point.
He's a hooper.
That's who he is. Like, he exists just for hoopers on Twitter or X to be like, you don't fucking know anything. Cam Reddish is awesome. And no, he's not. Like, he stinks.
This is all. He also wasn't good at Duke. It's like all based on something he did when he was 16 or 17 years old in a YouTube mixtape.
Yeah, he's evolutionary OJ Mayo.
I mean, OJ Mayo was like a good college player, though. Cam Reddish like sucked at Duke with the first and third pick in the draft on his team, and they were not great.
Also, what's wrong with Hachimura? I feel like that's if he's good again, that helps a lot. Is he?
He's another guy that kind of hasn't really been good for the majority of, except for that hot streak the Lakers had, and he shot like 50% in the playoffs from three or something
that I always thought that he should be good, though.
Like, yeah,
I think he did have a concussion. He's been in concussion protocol, so.
Like, I mean, he was just on the Wizards. That was his problem before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, that's reasonable. I mean, he had 24 points last night, but that was not a competitive game he was in.
Jared Vanderbilt also hasn't played yet for them.
And Anthony Davis is banged up. Did he play?
What?
No, I don't know if I've seen a guy go to the locker room and come back out to play. He went to the locker room twice and then returned with either. I don't know what happened to him, but he didn't. He's currently hurt. He hurt his abductor muscle.
Yeah.
Which sounds abductor like a Dateline NBC. Abductor.
Okay.
I think the abductor injury is not as bad, and the adductor is one that sometimes you miss 2 months. I might be wrong about that, though.
Sean, are there any other teams you want to talk about?
I want to talk about if you believe that this 4-3 Houston Rockets team could be doing something. They have not won they have played 5 of their 7 games at home, but they just blew out the Kings 2 games in a row at home and then blew out the Lakers. They got killed in their first game, and then every other game has been pretty competitive.
I do believe in Ime Udoka as like evil Monty Williams. the toxic masculinity, mad dad style of his.
Yeah.
It really works.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely believe in that. So I'm not surprised that they're better. I expected them to be better. I don't know if they're going to be like a play-in team or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
what's kind of weird to me is the fact that they're better, but not because Amen Thompson is really doing anything or
He's hurt.
I think he's hurt. Right?
I know he just got hurt. Okay. But or that, because that would be where they would get a lot better, right? Is like, or what's his face? Why can't I think of the last year's pick? Jabari Smith has been fine, but it's not like he's been like, oh, this is he's like the reason their pick, the like he's justifying how highly they drafted him. Like he's been good, but like it's simply just seems to be Ime Udoka and Dylan Brooks weird attitude adjustment stuff. Like,
well, yeah. The other thing that's happening is Jalen Green is making a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And they're I thought they were maybe not going to do this because of how their moves were and how into getting Brook Lopez they were, but they seem to be letting Sengun cook a little bit here. Like he's not having to split time with somebody. Like Jock Landale's just his backup, and he's fun. He's he's kind of kicking ass.
Although I have a problem. I don't know if you watched the Rockets broadcast this year, but they refer to him as Al P every time.
Al P?
Like, Al P. Like he's the bad guy in Space Jam, a New Legacy. Yeah.
This, you guys now, at some point in the future, need to have a podcast where you compile all of the worst nicknames that only local broadcasters.
Oh, man, that's difficult.
Because
they
all have really bad ones.
But so what's crazy about the Rockets is they don't ever refer to him as Sengun. It's just like, Alpi gets the ball. Alpi passes it off. Alpi gets the rebound. Like, that's his name. It made me insane.
Let me tell you the two worst things that Warriors broadcasters do historically. I'm not just picking. I'm going to pick on Bob Fitzgerald once.
So
Bob Fitzgerald, when the Warriors play the Oklahoma City Thunder, most people figure out some easy way to refer to the two guys named Jalen Williams. And often only one of them's on the court and you can just say Williams. But Bob Fitzgerald refers to them exclusively as Santa Clara Jalen Williams and Arkansas Jalen Williams. Mm-hmm. Like the most awkward. And also it's like
that's
not
actually
even
one
that
of the better things he does as a broadcaster. It's bad, but at least he's there are so many worse things. Well,
and then the other thing is that the Warriors had Steve Albert, the lesser of all the Albert brothers, I think. Mm-hmm. And he used to refer to Chris Gatling as the Energizer, but he would pause as he said it like it was a really grandiose nickname. So Gatling would, you know, get an offensive rebound and put it back. And Steve Albert would go, the Energizer on a TV broadcast. Like he was a PA announcer in the arena. It was terrible. Anyway, those are the worst things.
Yeah.
What's the thing you hate the most about Bob Fitzgerald, Joey?
I mean, pretty much everything. Like the sound of his voice, the way he, the way it's like he runs a propaganda channel, essentially, for the
like that when he was cheering from the announcer's table when Steph Curry hit a last second shot.
Like Starship Troopers, I feel like.
Yes, exactly. But my least favorite thing is actually he very clearly makes a list of like nearby cities or things. So when Steph Curry shoots from far away, like say they're in Chicago, he'll be like, he shot that from Navy Pier or whatever.
Well, there was one Mike Tirico used to, or he probably still does that in some football equivalent. But LeBron made a deep three against the Bulls in Chicago. And I was watching the game from my friend's apartment in Logan Square, which is roughly 6 miles from the United Center. And as we're sitting there, Mike Tirico says, LeBron made that one from Logan Square!
Yeah.
And I was like, why does Mike Tirico know about Logan Square? And then I realized he was probably like a Northwestern guy, like half of sports media.
Yeah.
No, but then later in that broadcast, LeBron had a huge dunk, and he said, how do you like that, Chicago? I was just like, I don't like it, man. I'm rooting for the Bulls in this one.
Maybe I don't know what your post-game show plans are. Well, then, yeah. The other thing that Bob Fitzgerald does all the time is focusing on extremely limited shooting splits. Like a team against the Warriors will go like, they'll make like 5 out of 9 threes mm-hmm. in the first quarter. And he is just beside himself. Like, I yeah. can't. This team shoots 37%. They're 5 of 9. And it never has anything to do with whether the Warriors have just run away from a guy shooting a corner three. Like yeah, yeah. something they've been doing for like 2 years now. And he's still just like, I never thought I'd see the day Killian Hayes would shoot 8 of 12. And it's like, it's not really that unlikely. Like it's.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson sometimes just stops playing defense for minutes at a time now. That's just like a thing he does now.
You know? Also, Sean, I would be remiss not to mention it, but you brought up Chris Gatling earlier.
Yes,
and it's just important to remember that Chris Gatling is the only NBA player I know who was arrested for setting up a telemarketing service that targeted senior citizens and sold them fictitious websites to scam their credit cards.
Wow,
so
I did
he
not.
Truly was energizing his own bank account there. All right.
Yeah.
I think that's our episode. John, you wrote a book called Jad's Dad, Milo. Everyone should read it. Do you have another
Mouse
book
House
coming
Books.
Out soon?
Yes, the probably next year, early next year at this point, the Bert Gets Hurt. the follow-up book will come out. I'm back to Real GM. I wrote about the my Bucks. Mm-hmm. At Real GM this week.
Yeah.
Wrote something at The Ringer recently. I recorded with our friend Corbin earlier today, so you can
That's the Turtle Pond Hangout podcast.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. And Thanks
John,
for coming on, John.
Oh. Yeah, John, by the way, I've read 3 Eugene Martin books this
really?
Week. Really?
Did you read Firework?
I didn't read Firework. I read Pure Life, which was just incredible.
Oh my God.
That novel is like,
y'all gotta
check it out.
Firework.
Eugene Martin, Pure Life. Yeah, it's really good. Phenomenal. And then Waste is really crazy. That one's like more of a novella.
I haven't read that.
It's about a janitor who discovers a body in the apartment, okay. in the office building he works in. And then I read Layman's Report, which is like, a novelization of the life of that Mr. Death from the Errol Morris doc.
Well, and Sean, okay. You know what you're going to start reading on Friday?
What's that?
You're going to start reading Resurrection Walk, the new Lincoln Lawyer book starring Lawyer and Harry Bosch.
Wow, Joey, this is incredible stuff. I'm currently reading a book about the Ku Klux Klan. I just finished a Barkley autobiography, and I'm reading a mass market murder book paperback called, I think it's the Thursday Murder Club. I'm sure it'll be a movie.
Is it part of Reese's book club?
I mean, it might be. It's British.
John, how do we get Bert Gets Hurt in Reese's book club?
You just have to wait until it exists.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll start a hashtag or something. Reese Reed, Bert Gets Hurt.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks a lot for coming on, John. You're the best.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John. That was great. Now we're just going to have a little brief conversation with our friend Alex about what it's like to DJ at Shacktoberfest and what it's like to get a head nod from Shaq. Sean and I, we're here with our friend Alex, well, our new friend Alex, who was the DJ at Shaquille O'Neal's Halloween Festival, Shacktoberfest.
Yep.
And I was just explaining to Alex that Sean and I are obsessed with Shaq's various endorsements and how crappy generally we think the products are. And
well,
the
way- no. yeah.
yeah.
We have a Patreon only release of Roundball Rock that's called Shaqed in a Podcast, which again, you can get for just $5 a month at patreon.com/roundrockpod.
Oh.
But yeah, we've reviewed the Shaq-a-roni pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a thing.
Yeah,
his reality show Shaq Life. Mm-hmm. I've actually reviewed 3 different episodes of a reality show called Tanked, which is about customized aquariums in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Shaq will pretty much endorse anything. That is what
Icy Hot, Sean. Have you reviewed Icy Hot yet?
I have not. I don't remember the last time I used Icy Hot. I guess I should do that.
What about the general car insurance? Have you changed your car insurance yet?
I have not, but I my fiance used to do some work for Progressive, so I'll ask her. I'll see if I can interview her about the general.
What about
Zach's life partner,
Epson Printer Ink? Have you done Epson Printer Ink yet?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've ordered that before.
Have you sat in the Office Max office chair yet?
No, and that is definitely on the to-do list.
Yeah. So, Alex, first question.
Yeah.
How do you end up being the DJ at Shaqtoberfest?
Well, I was referred through a friend, a musical friend here in Los Angeles, and I have some old friends from San Francisco from our, I was in a band called Lemonade. So from the early kind of post-punk, psychedelic, electronic SF scene, probably 2004, 2005.
Okay.
When Amanda, who goes by MNDR, was playing, and we would play shows together, and she's like a noise musician.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, she and her now partner, met in New York. And I think she did some tracks from Mark Ronson and became like a proper pop songwriter, like top liner songwriter, and her partner, they produced together. And they're also into horror and the whole spooky scene. So they started making this band called Lovecraft, which has become the premier Halloween soundtrack. Like contemporary Halloween soundtrack.
Yeah.
Of like, what has happened since the Monster Mash, you know? Thriller.
Yeah, true.
What's happened since Thriller? So they write tunes. She's holding my laminate, my Shaqtoberfest. Oh. I have my spooky basketball outfit in the wash right now, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But so they started writing Halloween tunes or spooky themed tunes. And it's mind blowing. The spooky scene is more vast than you can imagine.
Well, I was going to save this one for later, but I guess I'll ask it now. As a Halloween DJ, how many times a night do you play Astro Zombies by the Misfits?
Zero.
Okay, fair enough.
And I'm not a Halloween DJ. I'm a musician who takes whatever paying gig I can to support my daughter. Yeah.
They got a new DJ.
For this thing, and I became kind of the resident DJ for Lovecraft, LVCRFT.
Oh, okay.
And they're great folks, and they write cool tunes. And it's actually turned into more than Halloween, because there's Halloween. Do you know what this?
No.
Oh, late April. It's 6 months in between Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's Halloween.
That's good.
I played Midsummer Night Scream. Okay. And Spooky Pride.
That sounds good.
Oh my god!
And so the spooky scene has the spooky everything year round. Fake blood and there she goes. Hey, wait, wait.
Yeah, I guess like I don't even necessarily. I mean, obviously Halloween is the premier spooky holiday, but I feel like there's so much non spookiness to it that if you're into like the really spooky part of it, you need an outlet for the rest of the year. And it kind of feels like it. I totally understand how there's spooky pride, because there's moments where you're kind of like, well, the line is kind of blurry between Halloween costuming and just party costuming, you know?
Sure. I think about it because I produce a lot of Brazilian music and I would go to Carnival a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So Carnival is their big dress up, right?
Yeah.
So it would be like the most amazing, they're going Fantasia, so the most amazing costumes in the middle of summer, you know, it's hot. You know, and everyone's playing dress up but partying and making out in the streets.
Yeah.
So it's their version of Halloween kind of.
Go ahead. You go.
Halloween is popular everyone in the world now because of, our mass marketing and everything else.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Well, hopefully Halloween becomes popular everywhere in the world now, and not just code for when you're around Dean, but not Gene. that's half of ween. All right.
Yeah, more cheese, less chocolate. Yeah. Halloween would give me more gigs, I guess, though.
Yeah.
Halloween, my Halloweens might be ruined after doing this for the rest of my life. Because not everyone gets to celebrate 5 days a week for 6 weeks, you know?
Right, right. So for Shacktoberfest, how aggressive is the Shack presence / branding?
It's, you know, last year was more... Last year had more going on, like cardboard cutouts of Shaq everywhere, you know? Yeah. He came last year, like, to say hello. And beforehand, they were like, oh, yeah, who knows? Maybe he'll get up and DJ with you. And I was like, oh, I heard he's a DJ.
He is, yeah.
DJ Diesel, yeah.
DJ Diesel, yeah.
Grant and I haven't really followed him, ever. I hear from everyone, he's supposed to be a really, really sweet person.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't follow basketball or like celebrity stuff. And so I'm like completely out of the picture, you know? And then like, but he's supposed to be really, really nice. And they said, well, you know, if he comes and jump on stage and DJ with you, don't be surprised. And I was like, cool. That'd be awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Just to see how, I don't know, how big he is, I guess, or something. I heard he has big feet.
I mean, he is a giant man. Yeah. That is the thing he's famous for. One of the things he's famous for is being. True. Huge, yeah.
But also everyone tells me he's supposed to be a really, really like sweet and wonderful person. So they say
he would like buy rookies cars when they would join his team. So like very nice,
generous guy.
When he was in Phoenix, his favorite thing to do is he would go to Walmart at 3 a.m. and buy people's stuff.
Wow.
Wow,
he was kind of a forerunner to a more innocent social media time. Shaq was pretty early to join Twitter, and he would just tweet things like, find me at the Orch Julius stand at this mall, which... Yeah.
That's good there.
Yeah.
Well, he came once last year. There were cardboard cutouts everywhere, and there are like... Like everything is basketball themed, which is kind of I never understood why, really. I mean,
right.
I understand why, but like the whole, like you said, a Shaq Shaqaroni pizza or the play on. I kind of assumed just someone was like Oktoberfest, even though that's like a German beer festival. They're like Shaqtoberfest, Shaqtoberfest, and just like ran with it, you know, like ran with his play on words.
I mean, he's like that with a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But it, you know, it's like you could skip the line to rides taking the fast break. Uh-huh. And then there's like zombie, when I'm DJing in front of the Jumbotron behind me, there are zombies dressed up in basketball. There's actually a hoop on the, you know, on the dance floor or behind the dance floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Zombies dressed up as basketball players who go and like challenge people to games.
And they play like zombies, or do they play? Are they just dressed as zombies and they play normal basketball?
Well, some are better. They're actors, right? So some are better than actors, but like there are some that are really good at it and have the whole like, you know, going around and they'll just kind of be like, you know. Mm-hmm. But some know how to play basketball, so they'll make the shots. So it's kind of like having a bunch of sharks going around challenging people to horse or whatever.
I think, I'm bad at basketball, but I think I could beat a zombie at basketball and most actors. Most actors.
My
these are real actors.
My own amateur basketball career ended because I foolishly tried to take a charge during a pickup game from a professional dancer, and I broke a couple of ribs.
Oh, Jesus. So,
yeah, I mean, congratulations to that guy. Not really. That's how well I would fare against actors or zombies. I think I would be
somewhere good.
Injured.
Yeah.
That's how it would end.
But there's also a referee. There's a spooky referee.
Okay.
Who pops and locks and breakdances.
That's very so, Shaq. Yeah. That so sounds like something Shaq would like. Yeah.
He would slip me some requests, which were all good ones, like African Bambaataa and like you know, freestyle stuff, and I was like, oh, that'll go off, especially with this guy on stage next to me breakdancing, spooky, right, you know. But there's those, the fast break thing is cool because people skip lines, but also I think it's like I'm not sure how much more the VIP ticket is. I actually don't know anything about pricing. I'm not working for the company. I'm like a third party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm hired by the band, right?
Right, right, right.
And I'm called DJ Reaper, and I have a spooky basketball outfit. So yeah, and Amanda and Peter designed it. It's actually pretty sick. I have a bucket hat with their logo on it.
Uh-huh.
Lovecraft and a little, it's a skull with the eyes are musical notes.
Okay. Great.
<You know>? Cool.
Yeah.
Like this. Except this is a little eighth note, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And
just for our listeners, Alex is doing the eye circle upside down hand thing to make it look mm-hmm. like you're wearing a super
cool Oh, I'm mask. Sorry, it's a podcast.
Try it yourself.
Yeah. No, don't worry about it. You're good.
For the audio only people, I just want to clarify. And I wanted to do a terrible description of that.
I brought my adorable daughter for nothing. All right. Yeah, so I have a bucket hat and a basketball jersey, shorts with, you know, six their logo on the butt and like 666 on my jacket.
The number, yeah, right.
And,
yeah, yeah.
Yes, and flyaway pants.
Oh. So,
cause for this Los Angeles, you know, unpredictable October.
Yeah.
If it got too hot, I just rip them off on stage. Mm-hmm. You know?
Also, you never know, one of those zombies might get injured and you might have to go play in the game. So you got to be ready.
yeah, totally. No, I barely left stage. I was cranking it the whole time. So what is that? Yeah. He has Diesel's pumpkin patch. So there's a pumpkin patch that you could walk through, and there's a maze, you know,
mm-hmm.
and people come at you from there. The witching hour happens at 8:30 p.m. because the place closes at 12, and that's mm-hmm. when the monsters are announced. There's about 100 actors. They're paid to walk around or work the different, not rides, but attractions, you know?
Okay.
So there's like a spooky, there's a haunted pirate ship, and there's like on the Queen Mary, another one. There's a pumpkin patch. I think there are five or six. So witching hour, they play a video with Shaq in it where he comes out, says like, you know, ghosts and ghouls gather around and does this, you know, Halloween kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they then introduce the monsters, you know, the Queen Mary is getting scary. So they look at the eyebrows. Kelly had a little coaching for some acting stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
he has experience, wasn't he in Space Jam? Or was
he's
that...
in a lot of things. You Did would he? Be okay. surprised how much Shaq acts.
He was in a movie called Uncle Drew that was based on a Pepsi Max commercial where he mm-hmm. played an old man. He plays a cop in the movie Grown Ups 2.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a couple of Sandler movies.
He's in a lot of Sandler movies. He's the DJ in Who Be Halloween. But he's also like he starred in Kazam and Blue Chips. Uh-huh. Like he's got a Shaq cool. acts weirdly a lot.
Yeah, apparently that's what brought him to Los Angeles initially, was the ability to have a multimedia presence. And I think Shaq, I may be wrong about this, Joey, but isn't he the best-selling rapper of any NBA player?
Yeah,
I think he might have like a platinum album.
Yeah, his first album went platinum. Yeah,
which was almost 30 years ago, right? He's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, and he seems to have switched to being a DJ. He doesn't really seem to rap anymore. Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah, it's marketed as a Shaquille O'Neal sponsored EDM and dubstep festival. I think Halloween festival,
right?
Yeah, Halloween EDM dubstep.
Yeah.
And that probably is the only one run by a former professional basketball player.
It's got to be, right?
I'm not sure is. Anyone else was. Yeah. The problem, I don't really know too much about EDM. That was unfortunate. I will say, though, it was a kicking party.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it went off. Like, I had people dancing every night.
There's one other, the most famous DJ is, of course, Joey, Ronnie Cycli.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if he's the most famous, but I would say
of NBA player DJs. I mean,
I think Shaq is probably Ronnie Cycli.
But Ronnie Cycli like releases singles. And
So
big.
Dennis Rodman did something in the 80s.
I think Dennis Rodman probably did some DJing. That sounds right.
Yeah.
JaVale McGee got a Grammy nomination for working on a track with Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I think Chris Webber wrote some songs for Nas.
So those are all the a lot of great NBA musicians.
Well, Wayman Tisdale is the best NBA musician.
He's like a, what was he, a classical saxophone?
He's
player?
A jazz. He's jazz. A jazz bassist. Jazz I believe. Bassist. Yeah,
that was not close. What I said. Yeah.
Bassist too. I'm a jazz bassist.
What's yeah. your what other bands? Do you have another band that
is out and ready?
Oh,
to go.
Oh wow, that is a big bass.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a bunch of different projects. I was in a band called Lemonade for years that toured. Okay. We moved to New York City, but now I have a group with my wife, Allie, called Flor Ser, and we have a single coming out. Like I said, I produce Brazilian music, so I have a group in Brazil.
Oh.
Or I'm actually going to go to the studio right when we're done and finish some remixes for that. Mm-hmm. And what else? Oh, and my solo project, my most recent record last month is called Dr. Bronzer.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Bronzer. That rules.
Sounds yeah, good.
Also sounds like a product Shaquille O'Neal would endorse if it were.
So yeah, Wayman Tisdale was on Motown as a smooth jazz bassist. His album in 2001, Face to Face, was number one on Billboard's Contemporary Jazz chart, and he's in the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame. So good for him.
Now, did you find any of Shacktoberfest to be particularly spooky?
Yeah, that scary? Was going to be my next question. Oh. Because Shaq is so kid-friendly, it can't be that scary.
Well, I think that was the problem the first year, was that it was, you know, we had these kid hour and a half where I would play Monster Mash and more of the kid, you know, Skeleton Sam mm-hmm. is a big hit, the Lovecraft single.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. And I would play that stuff for the kids. But then when the witching hour happened, which was about an hour and a half in, then it would actually get scary and the kids would be a little spooked because there are actors going around, live actors who are trying to scare you dressed up as all sorts of crazy monsters, right?
Yeah,
so they did Sundays were the kid thing, and then the rest of the time was scary. I unfortunately can't really tell you because I was
working.
Right. No one was trying to spook you up there.
Like I had a, you know, 30-minute break. I'd run and eat something in my car and make the noise for a minute and then run back on stage. But I think there are some legit scary things if you get spooked by the kind of like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was gonna say something not funny. there are a lot scarier things that going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, this entire time I'm on stage, I'm thinking about genocide, which is
right.
But I couldn't comment on the spookiness. But I know Shaq came last year. That's what I was saying last, and I got a head nod. So
that's really cool. That's really cool.
But he walked back with like a 30-person entourage of photographers and everyone, and he gave me a little, you know, tip of the hat kind of thing.
Yeah, that
he does usually really like Halloween. But we found out last week his default costume is just to put on a wig and dress as a beautiful lady.
Yeah, that is his that's default his favorite. Costume. Halloween costume.
I'm sure no one recognizes him.
Well, Alex, we're gonna let you go. I think that was a thank you for the Shacktoberfest update. Hopefully we'll see you there next year. Is there anything you want to plug for where our listeners can find your music or anything?
Alex Pasternak, you just Google my name, man. I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Thanks so much for coming on, Alex. Man.
Anytime.
Thank you, Alex. Everyone, next year, meet up at Shacktoberfest. Listener meet up at Shacktoberfest.
Absolutely.
That's our episode. Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, Cobb's Comedy Club this weekend. But November 18th, I will be at It's Your Move Games in Oakland on Telegraph Avenue. And then first weekend in December, I'll be at Rooster Tea Feathers.
Great. Who are you with at Rooster Tea?
Dave Nihil. I've been working with a lot of Irish comedians. He is an Irish comedian.
Wow.
So
they love.
Come on down to Sunnyvale. Thursday is college. No, Thursday's military night. Either Thursday or Sunday. One of them you can get in with a college ID. One you can get in with a military ID. And please don't steal Valor. hit me up for the guest list. Is that what a promoter would say, Joey?
Sure. um All right. And then as for me, you know where you can find me. At Frankie Muniz on Twitter. Where on October 1st, 2021, I tweeted, I ruptured my eardrum today. It happened because, well, I'm me. Like Malcolm, the world is against me. FML equals Frankie Muniz's life. Sean, did you write a song?
You know, I didn't write one for That's this okay. week. Yeah, I just
Stop
I think
sounding
we should...
bad when you when just, you
I've been
that question.
I've been doing a lot of comedy at night, and that's normally when I record, and then I can't really record my music after like 11 p.m. because it'll terrify my sleeping fiance.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You have to wait to get married before you can show her your how hard you work on your music.
Yeah, the prenup doesn't kick in for a while. So, by the way, Joey, did you see who was named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive?
Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey, 57-year-old Patrick Dempsey, almost as old as Sean Connery when he won. I think he's the second oldest. But here's the reason I bring it up. Do you know what Patrick Dempsey's other career is besides being an actor?
I do not.
He's a race car driver.
Oh, Joey, wow.
Are we 25 short years away from Frankie Muniz being People Magazine's sexiest
man
alive?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think we're ready for that, yeah.
Anyway, one of Sean's songs will be playing under us now. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all see Sean go do comedy at It's Your Move Games.
On the blogs, I read the talk. Rumors from Shams and then from Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. The trade machine is so oddless. How could you deal Mohawk less? Oh, how could you deal Mohawk less? How could you deal Mo trading for a guy who's non-guaranteed, yo? Overshadowed by Wiggins for D-Lo. Gerson Ross is one less up from Indochino. I mean, even if the deal was falling through. I mean, even if they want to pick swap at 22. Hey, yo, Maurice, buddy, let's look on the bright side. Hey, yo, you didn't play with Hassan Whiteside. Now you want to stretch for you're gonna deal me. And in the buyout market, Mavs want to steal me. Only Al Farouk knows the real me. Miska went to Palace Books. Important you feel
on the blogs and read the talk. Rumors from Shams and then from Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. I gotta lease my apartment. How could you deal Mohawk less? Oh, how could you deal Mohawk less?
How could you be so Daryl Morey? You're bringing up some matching rules that I don't know. Paul George's body got hella weak though. Why you send me away for Marcus Moe? Singing the blues like Oladipo. Winter in New York is so damn cold. I won't stop sending texts to Coach Pop, cause I know they love me in San Antonio. I wish this trade was still tentative. I need to call my representative. The Knicks ain't trying to be competitive. They play like they're taking a sedative.
On the blogs, I read the talk. Rumors from Shams and then from Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. They're waving Isaiah's carcass. How could you deal Mohawk less? Oh, how could you deal Mohawk less?
Talking trade, chugging all the haterade. You can't trust Pat Patterson's knees. Need my bonus, I won't shoot threes. Sorry that I want to win. Sorry I kept my body thin. Sorry I'm not an evil twin. I know you didn't believe in Jerome Robinson. This whole thing makes me sick. I'm headed to the Knicks, getting on the flight.
I read the talk, rumors from Shams and then from Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. They'll miss me when I've departed. How could you deal Mohawk less? Oh, how could you deal Mohawk less?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.